You've never heard a radio show like this before. Following in the footsteps of his father and grandfather, Taxi Dave drove a taxi in New York City for many years. In fact, he was born in the front seat of a yellow cab. Join us for an hour of informative discussion with the only person in America to have hosted the Today Show one time. He's knowledgeable, he's witty, and he wrote this. The only one of his kind. This is the Taxi Dave Show.
That's it, baby, when you got it, flaunt it!
To keep me up just one more night, I can't sleep here no more. Little Ben clock says 7:45, you kept me up till 4. I gotta get down, I gotta get down.
I'm Taxi Dave.
Yes, you are.
That's County Clare. Welcome. We have John. How you doing? John McDonough.
Yes, holding down the fort here, WOR Studios.
You know, before we get into any business, I heard something about you in the Bronx coming up. Let's just announce it so I don't forget it.
Yes, my one-man play, Off the Meter. I'm bringing it to the Boogie Down Bronx on February 8th, Thursday, and then Saturday the 10th and Sunday the 11th of February to an Irish bar. Oh, an Irish bar in the Bronx on Bale Buck Cafe, and it's the Hungry Mouth Theater that's bringing me up there. They're at 445 West 238th Street near Greystone Avenue. And if you want any more information on that, go to offthemeter.net and I can be hired out and I can talk to you about 40 years of driving a yellow cab. So that's February 8th, 10th, and 11th at Unbailed Buck Cafe up at 238th Street in Riverdale in the Bronx. Thanks, Dave.
All right, 238th in Riverdale. My God, a Bronx, an Irish pub.
Yes.
What a thing.
Who would have thought?
And Carolyn's in the studio. How are you, Carolyn?
Hey, Dave, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm fantastical.
Hi, Carolyn. How are you, sweetheart?
We're going to have
Claire.
Lou Riccio on. And just for you folks who may not know, Lou Riccio was the commissioner of New York City's Department of Transportation, and he served on the board of the MTA, the Metropolitan Transit Authority. So who better, who has more knowledge, nobody, than how things work and when it comes to the governor's congestion pricing plan. Now, when did the goal of congestion pricing change from trying to ease the worst traffic in New York City, in the history of New York City, to giving all the money to the MTA? I mean, that's all the governor plan, the governor's plan does. It does absolutely nothing to ease traffic congestion. It's a scam. It's a sham. Bend over, New Yorkers, and say thank you, ma'am. You know, it's terrible.
The funny thing about the plan, Dave, is if it succeeds, it fails. If you get the cars off the road, then you lose the revenue to fund the MTA. And if you don't get the cars off the road, then you've succeeded in getting the money, but you still lose because you have pollution, congestion, accidents, and people are discouraged from using public transportation. One of Schaller's ideas was to transfer the cars from the Central Business District to the other boroughs, but then you'll have all those problems in those boroughs. So it's not a very good solution.
Okay. Right before I introduced Lou Riccio, John, just one thing. You said something quite profound. You said, I thought there weren't going to be any taxes on the bridges.
Yeah, I mean, they're playing a little word game right now saying that, no, there's going to be no tolls on the 59th Street, the Williamsburg, or the Manhattan, or the Brooklyn Bridge. But if you happen to go over those bridges and you land in Manhattan, oh, now you got to pay $11.25. And, Dave, there'll be things like unintended consequences. They were saying if you go over the Brooklyn Bridge and go up the FDR Drive, you won't have to pay the congestion tax. But just saying, you've been on the FDR Drive going up, and it says, you know, FDR is backed up all the way up to the Triborough Bridge. I would suggest getting off at House and 42nd Street and taking First Avenue up. But you're not going to do that now. Or if you're on the West Side Highway, you're not going to go over to 10th Avenue. The traffic nightmare that's going to happen, because people will not get off these two highways to go a block or two over where there might be no traffic, say on 1st Avenue or 3rd Avenue or on 10th Avenue, you're going to stick it out onto the West Side Highway and onto the FDR Drive because you don't want to pay that $11.25. So you're going to back up traffic on all the bridges and everywhere else because nobody's going to want to go into this business district below 60th Street.
With us now, the former commissioner of the New York City Department of Transportation and former board member of the MTA, not to mention other commissioner, commissioner of deputy commissioner of highways and a number of other positions, but he can be with us for a short time. Lou Riccio, welcome to the Taxi Dave Show.
Dave, always great to be with you.
Thanks. So, I haven't read the governor's actual law, what he's proposing, his intro, or what he wants the legislature to vote on. I don't know many who have. From what we've read, can you give us your professional take on what's going on here?
Well, it's an interesting question. First off, there's a political dimension to this. There's a public policy dimension to this. What has happened so far is he commissioned a group of very smart people, very respected people in the transportation and environmental area to think through this whole problem of congestion. And I do believe his main concern is raising money for the MTA. Both of which are serious and legitimate concerns. And they've come back and they're floating an idea. There's no legislation yet proposed. They're floating an idea and they want to, like a trial balloon, they're putting it out there and see who likes it and see who doesn't like it. And the plan is sketchy at this point. They've, as was beautifully discussed just a few minutes ago, they haven't mentioned anything about tolling on the East River bridges, which is a signal to the people in the outer boroughs that, it's a red flag to them. Immediately, it's a red flag that if you put tolls on the East River bridges, that's a scheme to make life better in Manhattan at their expense. On the other hand, I have to congratulate the governor for confronting the issue. He hasn't ignored it. He's tried to do something. But I think there are better plans than what have been proposed. You know, as you know, as I know, as anybody who really knows what's going on, the problem isn't the average everyday person. It's these for-hire vehicles, the 100,000 extra vehicles that are flooding the streets and have not paid a penny to the city to operate. And they're clogging the streets, causing pollution, and completely... And they like to use the word disrupt. I like to use the word destroy the well-running systems that we have, not only the yellow industry, but also the public transportation industry that we have. So I don't completely understand what the governor's political motives are here. He's running for re-election. He needs votes downstate. He's not running that well upstate. And this is a touchy subject. And as far as I see it, there's going to be entire groups of people who are going to object to this. First off, there's absolutely no reason to put any more charges on the yellow industry. The yellow industry is paid to be in there. They paid it to the city through their medallions. They pay the 50 cents to the MTA. They have paid for the right to operate in Midtown. And that right to operate, which I think is contractual obligation, was reinforced when the green cabs came along. They can't operate there. So I think there's a real fatal flaw right there in the program. Secondly, I'm surprised the controller is not making us think about what the charges to the commercial vehicles. We're all going to pay the price for higher prices if the commercial vehicles have to pay. And I'm surprised the controller hasn't come out and done an evaluation that this might hurt New York City business in the long run. The simple fact of the matter is, if you want to reduce congestion and you want to raise money for the MTA, charge all the for-hire vehicles $10,000 a year to operate in Midtown Manhattan. We'll see how many actually operate when that charge is put on. Let's say 50,000 operate. That brings in, oh, if I did the arithmetic right here, $500 million every year for the MTA, which is, you know, real money. And it would even the score, put more level playing field between the yellows and the four hired vehicles, and raise that $500 million that the governor wants for the MTA. That's the way I see it.
We have a couple of emails. Our phone number here is 800-321-0710. This is the Taxi Dave Show. We're on with Lou Riccio, the former chairman of the New York City Department of Transportation and a former MTA board member. And we're talking about the governor's scam as far as congestion pricing. That's what it is. It's taxation.
I wouldn't go that far, but it's taxation
without representation. You know, what was this country based on? We're being taxed. We've already paid. Okay, yellow cabs have already paid the city hundreds of millions of dollars for medallions.
Billions.
And now they say
billions of dollars.
Thank you. Billions. Yes. And now we're hearing, well, gee, well, let's just add another tax onto the passengers who take yellow cabs. They're dumb, they're stupid, and I can look like a hero because I'm calling it congestion pricing, and this is going to solve all the traffic. I mean, his quote that I heard on 1010 Winds was, well, it's those FHV vehicles who drive around in circles and, you know, and they need to pay their fair share. How about limiting the four hire vehicles? How about doing something that makes sense?
My plan, as you and I, when we testified for the city council, my plan was you go back to 2010. I mean, the city made big mistakes all along the way here for decades. But let's go back to 2010 before this influx of new vehicles, Uber, Lyft, Via. And black cars were there and say, okay, you're grandfathered in. It's fair that you were there. Fine. But anybody since then has to pay 10 grand a year to operate. And limit them to the number of medallions. Only a certain number of medallions. You want more vehicles in Manhattan? Sell more medallions.
And that money goes right to the city.
It goes to the city. You go through the environmental impact. You have to go through all the right procedures. These four hired vehicles just show up without any environmental impact. It's an outrage. And I'm surprised the environmental community, you know, the NRDC and all the environmental goo-goos, they should be going crazy here that these vehicles have just saturated the city, caused this congestion. And congestion, by the way, pollutes far more than just a normal traffic. And what I mean by that is a vehicle that operates at highway speeds might be producing very little pollution, but when it's stuck in traffic idling, it's producing lots of pollution. And these vehicles are making every other vehicle more polluting. And where's the controller on this? Where's the city council? Where's the state assembly saying, wait a second, we want more money for the MTA. That's understandable because in the long run, mass transit's a smart thing for the city. But we want a fair playing field for the people who've given the city billions of dollars. And that wasn't a gift. That was a contract. I just still don't understand why the lawyers can't say that when you buy a medallion, you have bought a contract, and the city is not, and the state for that matter now, is not living up to that contract. So either give people their money back or defend the contract and force everybody else to pay like the yellow people have paid.
Or the $10,000 that you think Uber. Now I sound like Tom O'Connor. How you doing, Tom? Uber.
So from what I understand, when this proposal was floated last week, Uber said, sure, not bad. So immediately I'm suspicious.
They came out in support of it before they knew what it was.
Well, even when I proposed $10,000 or $15,000 a year about 3 or 4 years ago, I was on Channel 2, and Marcia Kramer interviewed me, and she said, Commissioner Riccio says they should charge $10,000 or $15,000. Uber, even at that point, wasn't afraid, because they know the yellows have already paid. And one of the things in this plan, the governor's plan, is Uber likes it because the yellows, They charge yellows as well as Uber. And Uber already has the advantage because they didn't have to pay a penny to get into the business. So if you charge everybody the same, Uber has the same advantage that they unfair advantage that they've had for the last several years.
A bunch of emails have come in. Can you? I'm just going to give you a couple of points, and I know you have to get we have to end this interview soon. I really appreciate you coming on the show. Trucks should start delivering their merchandise after 8 p.m. Is that a reality?
Well, the problem with that, that's an idea that's been floated for decades. And the problem with that is stores would then have to be open to somebody. They can't leave it on the sidewalk. They can't leave their deliveries on the sidewalk. People want fresh food, and those deliveries have to come. They come overnight, come get there in the morning, right during the rush hour, unfortunately. You would ask small businesses to be open overnight to accept deliveries. That's not going to happen. We don't have that unless they created some sort of a in the building where you could put stuff in and then lock it in. I just don't think it's going to happen. It's one of those items that gets floated every few years, and it's just not going to happen.
Yellow cabs must
make it easier. If we got all the vehicles off the street, get all the for-hire vehicles off the street. If we got people to use more mass transit and only use cabs and mass transit, limited the streets only to cabs, mass transit, maybe bicycles, and said no other vehicles should be here, then the deliveries could be made, and it wouldn't be such a problem.
I agree. Business that's been proven already after 9/11, by the way, when they closed the Holland Tunnel and below 14th Street, no private vehicles. It was just taxis, and it was traffic. There was no traffic.
There was no traffic. You know, New York City has a certain capacity for vehicles. There's a certain, you know, every street can handle only a certain number of vehicles, and as long as you're below the capacity, things flow pretty smoothly. The problem with these for-hire vehicles, if they've now pushed the volume of vehicles up over the capacity, there's just too many vehicles. It's like, people say the Cross Bronx. You know, I never go on the Cross Bronx. There's just too many vehicles. There's always, if everybody on the Cross Bronx was in a Porsche, they'd still go 5 miles an hour.
I have a question for you.
Once you have too many vehicles, it just doesn't matter what kind of situation you're in. So if we can get the vehicles down below, by the way, on President's Day is a school holiday. There's about 40,000 teachers and students who drive, for whatever reason. God bless them. I'm not saying anything bad about them. But when there's a school holiday, you notice that the traffic flows very nicely because the traffic falls just, down below the capacity. The problem is, we have these for-hire vehicles have just pushed us beyond the limit. And this is not a Manhattan problem. This is a five-borough problem. You go to Brooklyn, you go to Queens, you go to the Bronx. Traffic is miserable because there's all these vehicles out there chasing a limited number of rides. Most of the day, they're driving around doing nothing. And it's a serious, serious problem. Now, I congratulate the governor for pursuing some sort of a plan. I'm hoping that this plan inspires people to think about what's the smart thing to do. The smart thing to do is to focus on protecting the yellow industry and protecting our mass transit. VIA is a direct threat to our mass transit system. Uber and Lyft are a direct threat to our well-regulated, already expended and bought into yellow system. These programs have to be limited and charged to operate at all. And we need the money for the MTA, but we really need the traffic congestion relief as well.
Okay, rather than take phone calls and read more emails, I just have to thank you for coming on the Taxi Dave Show, giving us your expertise point of view on the governor's congestion pricing plan. Ladies and gentlemen, Louis Riccio, former chairman of the New York City Department of Transportation and former MTA board member. Thanks again for coming on the Taxi Dave Show.
Dave, I thank you very much, and I appreciate the kind words. And I will work with you and all the other people on your team there. in any way you suggest, because we have to get the message out. This is it's in the public debate now. We need to get to legislators, controllers, other elected officials to understand the real issues here, and to get the press to appropriately and for once honestly explain the plight of the yellow industry and what these renegade organizations are doing to our mass transit and the yellow industry. So I thank you for letting me come on, and I look forward to talking with you some more.
Lou, I just want to thank you for making everything so simple for us to understand. And when I listen to you, I think about Occam's razor, the problem-solving principle. You go with the simplest explanation of a problem, and that's what you did. It's the black cars, it's the black cars, it's the for-hire vehicles. That's the problem. You can dance around it and make up all these other things, but that's the essential problem, and they have to deal with it. The only question is, are they going to be grown up enough to do it?
Well, as long as the clear voices like yours and Dave's and the other people on your show saying it over and over again, they have to pay attention at some point. So we just have to keep getting the truth out there, and let's hope they listen.
Nobody wants it more than the black car drivers themselves and also the Taxi Workers Alliance. They all say that the cars should be limited. It's the only thing you can do.
That's right. It's
not the black cars were created for the Wall Street and the
right.
And the law firms, and God bless, that was fine.
Right.
TLC made the two mistakes that TLC made is they didn't limit them, and they didn't charge them. But at this point, they kind of, the TLC people are smart people. They're kind of stuck. I think in general, the mayor has been good for transportation. This is one area where he hasn't been good. He's been good with infrastructure, and he's been good with traffic safety, things of that nature. But I think the millionaire's tax is a reasonable approach to funding the MTA, because after all, their worker, the reason they're millionaires is because their workers come to work on the subway and in cabs. But they need to take the charge here and represent the people who, the hardworking people in the yellow industry and the importance of the MTA, and resolve this in a way. So I congratulate, the governor has put it out there. He had the courage to put it out there. But let's keep pushing. Let's keep pushing and get the right thing done, not the wrong thing done.
Thank you, Lou Riccio.
Thank you.
This is the Taxi Dave Show. We're brought to you by Lacus Technologies, Lacus Drivers App, and Hereford Insurance Company. Lou brought up a lot of good ideas. John, I know you've been quiet. You've been respectful. We all let Lou. He had an awful lot to say. What do you think, John?
Just on a couple of points, and even reading the New York Times article, the effect it has in all these people write papers, but they had just a little short story on the guys with the food carts all around Manhattan. And he was explaining about how he has his SUV, bring it in early in the morning, set up his cart, then he goes back out to wherever he lives with the car, and then he has to come back in and re-hook up. So that guy, right off the bat, has to pay twice to get his food cart in below 60th Street. I was thinking another problem would be if I had a passenger, she's going to Bed Bath & Beyond on 1st Avenue and 61st Street. I would literally say to her, if I'm going on 1st Avenue, could you just jump out of 57th Street? No, well, on 1st Avenue, I say, I want to make a left onto 57th mm-hmm. and come back down 2nd Avenue and head downtown. And I would ask passengers that. Or you could have a truck. If you had two trucks, park at 61st Street, get a hand truck, take your merchandise down below 60th Street and load up the truck that you had down there that paid the one time. I mean, there's just going to be certain scams and people are going to try to get around this. And I'll take it. Let's go even more bizarre. The horses in Central Park, I don't know why they're exempt. Now, they start at 59th Street and they go into Central Park, cross over 60th Street. I believe all the tourists taking the horse and buggies at Central Park should pay the $11. Because they're going to go out of the zone when they go through Central Park, and then they circle back around, back to 59th Street. So every time they do that, the horses in Central Park should charge the passengers $11.25. That's transportation. Yep. They're taking people around. Hey, why are they excluded? Come on.
And you know why they shouldn't be excluded, John? Because they're the only other mode of transportation where you can put up your hand and they'll stop and you can get in. And there's no law against it.
Right. And they're going to be crossing 60th Street. Their whole business is crossing 60th Street because they start at 59th right. Street and they cross 60th Street all day. So, come on. Let's charge them. It's just the yellow cabs should be exempt from this because we're going to be constantly going back and forth across 60th Street and we should not be charged for doing that, for dropping passengers off, you know, a little above, up by Bloomingdale's. That's going to be a big problem.
You're right.
You know, and then where are people going to park? They're going to park all as close to 60th Street as possible and then maybe jump on the subway there. So all these neighborhoods, say in Williamsburg, and Brooklyn Heights and Long Island City, Queens. You know, people are going to be parking all around there to get on the subways that you can't get on. The 7 train, the L train. I got a friend who lives in Williamsburg. He's at the Bedford Avenue stop. Right now, without anything going on, he gets on the L train when he wants to go to Manhattan, go in the opposite direction for 3 stops, and walks over so he can get on the train to get into Manhattan. I mean, there are so many problems that are going on, and this is reflecting it. So I'm just hoping this show is starting to light the flame and explain. Here are some of the problems. It looks good on paper. Everything looks good on paper.
That I get so disgusted when I try to take a train in from Long Island City into Manhattan.
Oh, my God.
1E, 2Es, 3Es. And finally, you realize if one person comes out, you have to bully your way into the train. It's terrible. You're back-to-back with people.
Right.
And if that's the experience, and in the summer it's so hot you feel like you could pass out, and it's so crowded that you say, it's worth the $12. I'm going to drive into Manhattan. So it has the opposite effect, in essence. I mean, here we are. Everyone is talking about how terrible the transit system is in New York City. The subways are packed. And I don't know if they can put more trains on. I mean, they run every couple of minutes. Where do they go? So, and each train is packed that runs a couple of minutes. How do you improve on that without revamping the whole system? And is that what the point is here? We're going to make new train lines? Well, we saw what happened on 2nd Avenue. It finally happened. And across 34th Street, it actually happened. I don't know how that's affect business, but what else could be done? If you have a bad experience in the subways, in the buses, and by the way, we do have the slowest buses in the nation, but we're adding more buses and more bus lanes. If the problem is congestion, folks, raising prices on taxi cabs is not the solution. Just think about it. What business are you? We have a group of people in San Francisco, okay? The Blue Dream Association out in San Francisco, they sent me an email. And, you know, it talks about the governor and, you know, they know what it's like and they feel sorry for the New York City taxi drivers. But let's assume the association is for locksmiths, like we have in New York City who listen to the show. Would the government ever tax anybody, any other locksmiths, let's just say, who don't have stores, freelance locksmiths, would they tax the locksmiths who have the stores to pay for the others who are freelance? I mean, it's just what I'm saying is we're supporting our competition. Right, Carolyn?
This would just come out of general tax revenue.
I didn't make a good example.
The new MTA head, Andy Byford, said that he's agnostic on where the funding comes from because I think they need about, let's say, $1 billion to fix the subway. So he doesn't care where the money comes from, but he said as long as it's not peaky funding, he's British. And I think what that means is when it's not reliable, that you don't really know what is going to come in because if it has an effect, then you'll get less revenue. And also in the report, which I actually did read, it said they're not going to institute the congestion pricing or zone pricing until they've first made improvements in the subway system and the bus system. Because then people will see that it's better and they will be more encouraged to use public transportation rather than pay the extra fees to drive into the city.
Here's an
but
email.
They have no way of funding that. They
the
don't even have a plan.
At AOL.com. You can send an email. We'll read it on the air. If they want money for the MTA, why not raise fares? Hooray to Carolyn for saying it as it is. That's for you, Carolyn.
Yeah. Thank you.
The public are confused. Where is that?
They are. They're very confused. They just think they'll get a nicer subway out of this. So what the hell? Let's charge yellow cabs.
Because they see the elites use Uber, Via, Lyft as taxis happening all over the streets, ignoring to take yellow cabs. I see that every day, everywhere in the city. So here's my question. With this plan, and since the governor is one of the smartest guys in the country, who'll be running for president, we heard, supposedly, what do you do about those illegal guys when you come out of the theater, like I did last night, and you walk over to 6th Avenue, and you're waiting to hail a yellow cab, who pull up to you again and again and again, and say, oh, I'll drive you there, you know, $50. $50 for a $10 cab ride. $75 for a $10 cab ride. And you know what's going to happen, folks, if you take those illegal cabs? With all of this going on, no money is going to be collected for the MTA. They are going to bypass. They're going to bypass that add-on to the fare.
That's a good point, Dave. Yeah, you're probably right.
They are.
Yeah, they're going to be off the system.
They're going to be totally off the system. And if that happens, it defeats the purpose. It encourages more illegalities. What we need as part of this, if you're going to tax us, give us representation. What's our representation? More enforcement agents from the TLC and more police officers dedicated to the illegalities going on in our industry today.
That's right. Budget time is coming up, I think, in March. I want to see the TLC down there at the city council asking for more enforcement agents and better paid enforcement agents, as you pointed out on several occasions.
Well, apparently there are cab drivers in California who listen online. This is, I did get it right, the Gorilla Glue Club. Hey, drivers in New York and passengers in New York, how does it feel to have the governor play hide the salami at your expense? Oh, boy. This is, hey, listen. You know, it's, I'm just reading what I get here. What's going on here?
Dave, one of the other problems that I haven't been reading about, the city created the congestion. They add 100,000 Uber cars and Lyft and that. They add the bus lanes. They add the bike lanes. And they put these concrete barriers, particularly along First Avenue. And then they go, oh, we got congestion now. We got to do something about it. I mean, you know, oh, how did that happen? I woke up one day, and I got all these, you know, hipsters biking in over the Williamsburg Bridge going up First Avenue. I mean, you know.
We used to have 5 lanes of traffic, and in many cases, it's down. Oh, they'll tell you 3 or 2, but the reality is.
One of them is a bus lane or a bike lane.
You go from 5 lanes to 1 lane. And you add and you add 100,000 app-based cars.
Right.
Obviously, there's going to be traffic in New York City. So let's charge the app-based cars. And what's that going to do? That's going to say to people, well, maybe I don't want to take an app-based car. Is that what the idea is? So they take the subway that they can't get into, that's hotter than heck on a summer's day on the stands with people mm-hmm. passing out? Is that what they're supposed to do? Or take the bus that's slower than walking in some cases?
What do you think about cars coming into the city, not being able to park between or drive between, let's say, Lexington Park?
The Central
Madison
Business Fifth, District.
Yeah, the Central Business District. And drivers would have to park their cars in a lot, take a cab over to whatever the business was, a cab back to the lot.
Well, that's what Lou Riccio was saying. He'd rather see a ban on all vehicles except for delivery trucks and taxis.
I'm with him.
They do it in Paris from time to time, where they'll only allow taxis, emergency vehicles, and public transportation for a day, and it works very well.
Carolyn, I think you and I should travel there and take videos of it. What do you say?
It's called research. A little research.
Excellent idea.
Okay, cool.
But I got to tell you something. I was reading the TLC website the other day, And their first act of the new year, they put out an RFP. And for those who don't understand bureaucratic lingo, that means request for, what's an RFP? Request for, I forget. They're looking for a vendor to administer tests for TLC licensing. In other words, for new drivers. Guess how many they need to process a month? 6,000. Now, I don't have my calculator.
6,000 a month or 2,000 a month?
6,000. That would be 72,000 in a year. Hello?
where are they going to fit?
This is the Taxi Dave Show. We're brought to you by Lacus Technologies, Lacus Drivers App, and Hereford Insurance Company.
It's request for proposal. That's what it is. Sorry.
Right, request for proposal. Yeah. You know, not a problem.
It happens.
Our phone number is 800-321-0710. Let's start taking some calls. Bob, you're first up on the Taxi Dave Show.
How you doing, Dave? And by the way, I'm sounding like I can join the chorus over here. Remember what I've been saying? Public transport comes first.
Yes.
Taxis are considered public transport.
Right.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. Absolutely right. Once again, Bob, you're great. We're going to move this show along. Anything else real quick?
Yeah. Well, if they don't start waking up in TLC and the City Hall, you're going to have so much congestion, you have a virtual heart attack for New York City. You don't need that.
Okay.
What would really move things along, if all of the legislature decides to take cabs and other public transportation, let them see how crowded it is. Let them see for themselves.
Our phone number is 800-321-0710. Bernardo, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Hey, baby. I saw you 4 days ago in the auction. You remember me?
Yes, I do.
David, I have a question for you. What is preventing to the Taxi and Limousine Commission to sell medallions to Uber eventually? Is any law or any regulation that prevents the TLC from selling those kinds of expensive permits to them also?
Well, you have to be careful when you say medallions, because medallions are medallions. When they came out with the green cars, those aren't medallions. Those are permits. So I guess what Lou Riccio means, rather than changing the medallion law, allow them to purchase permits for $10,000 a year until they reach a median price of what the city, of what yellow cab drivers, yellow cab medallion owners. You own an individual medallion, correct?
That is correct, but $10,000 a year is a really very low amount. If you buy a medallion for $300,000, I pay more than that, of course, 4% interest rate in a year, you're paying $12,000, which is $1,000 more than $10,000 a year.
Well, if you think they should pay more than $10,000 a year, the only way to do that is the city to become a bank and finance the permits of Uber. But be careful where you tread, because once you finance something and you're giving it value, and it's like a medallion system, it's exactly that. It's a medallion system. So it has to be something that's affordable. I don't know what the average driver makes, what they can pay, because they have drivers, too, who might say, hey, UberX is killing us. We're not making a lot of money. We can't afford $20,000 a year. Got it?
Hey, maybe we need to make a better number and come up with a different idea. Thank you, Dave. Thank you very much. Okay?
Bernardo, thanks for calling Taxi Dave Show, brought to you by Lacus Drivers App and Hereford Insurance Company. Nino, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Hi, Nino.
How are you?
Fantastic.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, in my humble opinion, I think what we need right away, it is all of us, medallion owners and drivers, to give a big shout out to Taxi Dave. That's the only platform that we have right now to air our concerns, news, ideas, and all our differences.
Thank you. So, you also are involved with the Taxi Association, right?
Yes, with T-Moda.
And tell people what that stands for.
Well, T-MODA stands for Taxi Medallion Owner Drivers Association. And we are the one, we are on the front line of actually dealing with these humongous problems of total unfair competition that we are facing right now. I mean, I like what Richard's saying. It's pretty good, right on the money. But my concern right now, as a T-MODA member, my concern is, that your show actually is the only one up there that we can actually air our concerns. And I don't think, not that it's right, but I mean, we should be doing much more than that. And I'm going to encourage every member and every listener up here, you know, to help out this show. I mean, great guests all the time, great news up there. You cannot go away. I mean, it would be unfortunately. So we gotta do much better job on this.
Well, thank you very
much.
And
I really want to thank you for what you did.
Well, if you're serious, people can actually go on patreon.com/taxidave. That's patreon.com, patreon.com/taxidave. And you can help fund the show. Okay? Everything is transparent there.
I'll be into it. Thank you so much for your service, Dave.
Thank you so much. Here's an email. How about FHV permits with a congestion surge pricing model? The greater the number of permits in use, the higher the price. That's interesting. You're listening to the Taxi Dave Show, and let me just get this and see who's next. Next, we have Sheila. Welcome to the Taxi Dave Show.
Hi. Hi, Dave. Thank you so much. I'm calling just to say that I really liked, as you know, I like what Mr. Riccio says. I like his ideas. As one of the previous callers, I was thinking also that if the for hire vehicles had to pay, that it should be more than $10,000 a year. But that was very interesting what you said in terms of what that would lead to. So I have to chew on that for a little bit. But
So do I, Sheila.
Because I think, you know, it seems like it should that would still be too low. So it is something to think about. But what I really wanted to ask is, we always say that this is political, right? And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about what the political aspect of it is, because from my opinion, I think every time I bring this up to any of the elected officials that I talk to and I ask them about it, they always say, oh, yes, it sounds, you know, yeah, right, we have to do something about this. And then they say, but, you know, people really like, they like this new trend, you know. So my opinion is that they're afraid of their constituents, and I don't know what else. But I was just wondering why lawyers have not been able to do anything with any of the lawsuits that have, you know, as Mr. Riccio said, you know, he brought that up too, it is a contract, and why had the lawyers not been able to be successful? And, you know, with the judges, with the, you know, what is, even that the city council allowed that many cars to come in, it's like, what was really behind their decisions? I want to know what the political aspect of this is, or if you could shine a little bit light on that, if you can. I think they're afraid of their constituents. And anyway, that's all I have to say.
Bloomberg was the mayor when he made a promise to somebody in this industry to destroy. Well, I'll paraphrase. I'm going to destroy your effing industry, okay, when I'm out of office. It's no secret. He's an investor in one of the app-based companies. I think it's Lyft, to the tune of an awful lot of money. I'm hearing all kinds of millions of dollars. So, you know, it started there. On one hand, every politician who's been on this show has been totally against tolls at the free bridges. They've been against it. So how can you now say, well, you know what? That's good for congestion pricing. They're forgetting one thing. This is everything below 60th Street. So if you're shopping bridges because you can't afford a toll, whether you're a private small business, whether you're a person going to work who has who's fed up with the subway system and it doesn't take you near where you work, so you have to drive and you're shopping bridges. If you're doing that, what happens when you go over the Brooklyn Bridge, like you said, John, and you work in Alphabet City? What happens if you go over the Manhattan Bridge and you work in Chinatown or Little Italy? What happens if you go over the Williamsburg Bridge and you work on the Lower East Side? You're getting hit with up to $12 or $11.52.
Talk about congestion.
Well, they're doing it now. My point is, there's no difference, as John was saying before at the beginning of the show, between tolling the bridges and taxing the people with this congestion pricing once they go over the bridge and hit Manhattan. You know, it's like, it's, that's why I'm calling it a scam. It's like three card Monty.
There's no guarantee Monty. This will stop at 60th Street. They could turn around in a year and say, hey, let's make it 96th Street instead.
And they probably will. The MTA needs more money.
Right.
Okay. We're losing callers. I'm sorry to keep you waiting. We do have open lines now, 800-321-0710. Harry, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Good evening.
Good evening.
The problem is that they need money. They have 25 people doing the job of one. So how do you pay these people if you don't have money? That's the concern for the governor and the mayor. They don't give a damn about anybody. If the mayor's for a little guy, how can he take all the people that he wants to come into the country, invest in the city, and then turn around and shaft them? He doesn't care. The main concern is money for the governor and for the mayor. That's all they care about. That's why they congested the streets. They congested it. Ed Koch used to say, take the subway. I didn't give a cabs a ride. Take the cabs if they're not safe, if the subway's not safe. Take the cabs. I didn't give them a raise for 10 years. Nobody's going to give the cabs a raise, a retroactive, as the city employees get when they sign their contract. So think about it. They don't give a damn about anybody other than themselves.
What about a taxi union?
Taxi union, they don't care because you can't fight the judges. The judges are part of the system. You're fighting the system. The only way you can fight it is to get somebody who's not scared. John Gotti had a lawyer. He wasn't scared until they captured him.
I knew his lawyer personally.
I hope you didn't need him, Dave.
Not yet.
Right. If we were really a taxi cartel, we would have taken care of this problem a long time ago, but obviously we're not.
Yeah. Hey, John, you want to tell people why this isn't a taxi cartel?
We're not organized enough.
we don't
have sit-downs. I mean, we got two crime families now, one in Albany, one here in the city. They can't seem to sit down and work things out. You want us to work it out? I mean, it is amazing how they're creating the problem. Then they say, now we have to deal with it. But, Dave, you brought up that point about having trucks do deliveries late at night. And Riccio said that, you know, the shops or the stores are not opening. The new technology is sort of solving that. Amazon now has a thing. If you wanted to, when you're out at work, they set up a system at your house where the delivery guy will have a code to get in through your door, make the delivery, but they also film him going into your house, dropping off the package, and coming out. Now, this could probably be done with the trucks coming into Midtown Manhattan, where you could set up the video cameras. They punch in a code to the door. They make their deliveries. It's all videotaped and coming out. So Amazon is already doing this because of the theft of packages left on porches all around the country. And this is one of the ways they're using technology in order to get around that problem, where they're allowed. A lot of people are nervous that, you know, you're letting in a driver into your house, but it's all videotaped.
Is that enough?
So that we can get the trucks, because it would be great if the trucks could make the delivery, even though probably the trucking companies will have to pay the drivers more because they're working a night shift.
I think you're going to get an offer from FedEx.
Well, you never know. I mean, that's Amazon is probably getting delivered at times, I say, by FedEx and the postal service and stuff like that. Right. Until they create their own mail service, which they're thinking about doing, and thanks. Just delivering Amazon.
Thanks, John. Thank you, Harry and Sheila. The question, the only thing I can say is they were against tolling the bridges, and this is a way for them to be a politician instead of a public servant. Oh, I did say I was against tolling the bridges. This isn't a toll on the bridge.
No, it's the toll on the other side of the bridge. Yeah, yeah.
Right. As long as you stay on the bridge, you're okay.
Yes, yeah.
Right. Don't move.
Okay, let's take our next caller. You're live on the Taxi Dave Show.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Gino from Broken Up. I'm a little late tonight for the conversation. I apologize if this duplicates some of what you said before, but, you know, you get what you ask for with your politicians, right? I mean, everybody wants to scream for a bigger piece of the pie, but they're giving you free health care. They're giving you free pre-K. They've given you free college tuition now. They can't even balance their own checkbooks, like their personal checkbooks in their homes, right? But we're going to put them in trust of a billion-dollar economy that they cannot even balance. So now, naturally, all these taxes are going to come back on you. I mean, it's very simple. These politicians need to be held to task for this. And yes, we like them, we don't like them, we could, you know, pound our chest in favor of one party or the other. But the bottom line is, if you're fiscally irresponsible, this is going to blow up in everybody's face, little by little, incrementally, incrementally. Because there's no other way to fill that coffer. There's no other way to fill the treasure chest that they've raised.
Yes, there is. Raise the subway and bus fares. But
yeah,
heavens no.
That's coming too, Davey. Don't you worry.
They do right? that every year or so, don't they?
Well you know what?
It's falling so out of balance now, though. It's getting so out of balance that all they're going to do is tax all the working people for everything that they can't do on paper, you know, with your April 15th deadline. And it's getting ridiculous. It's getting ridiculous. But that's all I got to say today.
Didn't want to up the subway fare and bus fare, who's getting a lot of blowback. So he figured instead of doubling it right away, he went into something where every year or so it goes up a quarter. And that's in writing.
Right.
So it goes up slowly. But my point is, MTA is they're unaccountable for anything. They are unaccountable for anything. Where? If you're a city agency, you have to show where all the money goes.
Right,
virtually everything
right.
and every penny. This is a private agency. And I've said this before. I remember Bloomberg in his first year in New York City. He said, why does the MTA have four times as many accountants as the city of New York does?
Right. And he was dead on. He was dead on with that.
I can tell you. Their shoes and socks to count.
I have some, you know, knowledge of the inner workings of the MTA, and I can tell you it's one of the most ineffective organizations I've ever set eyes on, period. Period. Ooh. It's just, and they have unlimited authority to tax and increase revenue all they like on the public. And
are you,
you know,
aware of any of the other taxes that people pay to the MTA?
Yeah. How about your utility? Ever look at your utility bills?
You
look at any of your utility bills. That's helping offset MTA inefficiency every month. Right?
Sky
Why should
high.
I have to pay money on my phone bill to help right. the MTA who can't balance their books?
My,
right?
my
so
home.
Top heavy.
My home was underwater. I finally sold it. I've been trying to sell it for 3 years. I finally sold it. Okay. And instead of making
right,
money on it.
Get transfer taxes. Right.
I had to pay the MTA a transfer tax on selling the house that I lost money on. Are you kidding me?
Right. It's disgusting. And, you know, again, everybody's so worried about, you know, party politics when the reality is if people don't start learning how to count their beans, we're going to be up the creek with a hundred different ways. Not just $11 a day into Midtown, which is insulting enough. But some people ought to, you know, open their eyes to what's going on because the hustle is coming. They want to, you know, they want to disguise it under other excuses. But the reality is they can't balance their books. And that's all I have to say for this evening. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Appreciate the call. Wow. Do you know?
Good comment.
I want him to keep calling, so I didn't ask him how he knows personally about all the mismanagement there. We'll find out next call.
Call back.
There's an email from Stephen. There should be a minimum of two or more people in every car when they enter Manhattan, and that'll reduce the volume, of course.
Hmm.
Yeah. So if you're alone in a car, you don't have a choice. You can't drive in.
Get out.
Gee, that leaves me out of it. I have to buy a blow-up doll.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
That's right. I could kill two birds with one stone. Okay. And we have, what is this? Oh, Super Bowl boxes. No, we don't want to read that. Thank you. So, folks, I hope you enjoyed the show. Well, we do have a few minutes left. Give us a call now. We'll take one or two calls, 800-321-0710, right this second. Do we have anybody else on the line, Noah? All right, let's put them on. You're live on the Taxi Dave Show. We're losing people. So let's just sum this up. I'd like John and Carolyn, I'd like you to sum it up in a minute each.
I'd just like to tell people if they want to read this report, it's 36 pages, Fix New York City Advisory Panel Report, you can get it on www.taxinews.com. Abe has posted it.
Abe is the best.
He's a computer genius.
Abe, I'll be giving you a copy of the first ever Taxi and Livery Times as soon as I get it. You can see the Taxi Insider there. January, we started the Taxi and Livery Times, and Abe Middleman has graciously put every newspaper and every radio show, Taxi Dave Show, on his website at NYCTaxiNews.com. Miss JFK, Mike, come by the studio anytime, Mike. You know, you're a big help. You're an asset. We appreciate everything. And, John, last comments, and then tell us about the Bronx again.
Well, we can only depend now on the corruption of Albany that they can't get anything done to save us down here in the city. And if they can only follow the lead of Washington, we won't have to worry about this congestion taxing going up to Albany. So please, our favorite politicians who are in the pocket of everyone, please do what you normally do. Just tie up the works and let it go on. And you know what? Please do me a favor. Send it to committee. That's where things go to die. If you send it to committee, then it surely will die, and we'll never hear about congestion taxing for about another 2 or 3 years. And if anybody wants to hear me doing my shtick, I'll be at on Bail Buck Cafe at 230 8th Street up in the Bronx on February 8th, 10th, and 11th. And if you want more information on that, go to offthemeter.net. Well, I will talk about 40 years of driving a yellow cab, and it's just sad that we're talking about it at this point where...
Okay. Johnny, thank you so much.
Out of here.
Next week, we'll talk about the Transportation Improvement Fund. Everything seems to... The checks are coming late to owners and drivers. We'll talk about the New York City taxi auctions that happened this past week. There have been two of them in the last 2 weeks. Anyway, I got to go now. John, Carolyn, Claire, thank you so much. Lou Riccio, appreciate. And all you callers, thanks for making us and keeping us number one on Sunday nights in this time slot. I got to go now.
Taxi!